Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Sharon.
Because they thought, I'm taking this baby with me. Because they thought the faucet just gave water. So they're saying, I'm packing this baby in my suitcase. I mean, some people take the soap and the towels, you know what I mean? But I mean, they were going to take the plumbing. But you see, that's how incredible water is, and that whole source of water for people. But you know, look at this. Luke now. Timothy, command those who are rich in this present age, don't be hungry. Listen, if you live in North America, you're rich. So I'm talking to you. Oh, I'm not rich, Pastor. Trust me. No, you are. Trust me. I mean, a lot of places, they don't even have shoes. You got a closet full. Bomb series, and we did get that cleared with the elders, so it's all good. I don't think some of them knew what the F-bomb was, but that's great too. Amen. But hey, you know, there's things in life, sometimes pressures that come in areas where you go, man, you just, and that happens. Well, you know what? God's there in every circumstance or situation. So we've been dealing with some of the things. We dealt with frustration to start with, and we talked about frustration and how you need to respond to that. Don't react. Don't repress it and become a medicator or a motivator or a meditator. I mean, you got to make sure you deal with that in a proper way. So we shared that. And Stephen helped us out, preached on fear, how to deal with fear. And the way you deal with fear is just let it be overcome with the wonderful love of God. And perfect love drives out all fear. How do you deal with fear? Well, all fear is covered with this. Get a wild revelation of how much God loves you. And that'll give you confidence. It'll drive out. It'll knock out every single fear. Then we talked about factions, how to make your factions function. Because, you know, there's strife, dissension, those kind of things, discord, disagreement, schisms, relationships gone sideways. Those things can cause you to be, But you know what? You can make your factions function. If you take everything to good, take it and dwell in it, it's all good. Stay in that realm. And you know what? God works all things together for good, so you can make your factions function. Dr. Les Parrott, he said, if you try to build intimacy with another person before you've done the work of getting whole on your own, all your relationships become an attempt to complete yourself. And so you're in this selfish place all the time, always taking from other people, trying to complete yourself. Don't do that. Nobody else has the responsibility to make you feel good, feel better, or be better. You are responsible for your destiny, and then you get a chance to serve others by giving, not by living in these codependent taking relationships, but by serving one another. Amen? I have no expectations of you, but if you serve me, I say thank you, but you didn't have to. But when you do freely, not out of duty, but because the love of God is exploding in your heart, we've got wonderful, harmonious, beautiful relationships because it's all wrapped up in Him. That was good right there. Thank you, Pastor. All right. And then last week, Cheryl dealt with failure, and I was so amused when we were driving in the car, and Cheryl said, I'm just trying to figure out, can you help me with this failure thing? Because I can't think of anywhere I've failed. And I was like, it was funny, and there's really not. But you know, I like it. As Cheryl said, we don't have a failure mindset. We don't. I don't even consider failure an option. And even if it is a failure, I see it as a stepping stone to something bigger and more wonderful. And I love the Winston Churchill quote that she gave. It was, where is it? It's right here. There it is. Success is stumbling from failure to failure without losing your enthusiasm. That's really enthusiasm means to be full of God, to be flooded with in Theo. Theo is God. To be in Theo, in Theoasm, to have the God flooding you and saturating you. So never lose the sense that God's with you. And there's no such thing as failure. I mean, most people who've never failed, they've never tried. But I do thank you that she did finally admit, and I had to bring it to her attention. Remember those pants? Remember those, wool pants? And that was funny because it took me about 6 months to find those. It wasn't until the next cold season came that I'm looking for my cold pants. And, they were nowhere to be found. I'm sure, you know where my pants went? Did I leave them at the dry cleaners? What have I done with those? I have no idea. And it was so awesome. And when I finally had a Saturday, dug through all of our clothes and stuff in storage, and right at the very bottom of the box, not in the box, but right at the very bottom of a very big box. I mean, a big box. The box was this high. I had to tear through everything to find my pants. When I pulled them out, I kid you not, they were like this big. I was like, I'm a short guy, but that's rough right there. So when I brought them out, I said, oh, wow. And I could see the gears turning, like, how am I going to deal with this one? I said, just come clean, honey. Walk in the light. It's all good, you know. So, and I laughed. I tell you, it was so good. But there was several little – Cheryl didn't tell you about the time when they backed out of the garage with the door closed. Garage door closed. Nice attempt. That was one. She didn't also tell you about when she played goalie on the hockey team when she was younger. How many knew she was a goalie? So awesome. But so amusing to watch Cheryl play net because Cheryl's protective cup was dangling between her legs. So But it was so awesome. I think she thought it was an extra puck stopper and saved a few goals that way. But it was fun to watch her. It was amusing. Everybody in the place was laughing their heads off. And Cheryl's just like, what's up, you know? So, but, and we, I better stop there. I've got so many more, but this is the Sunday. Let's confess our failures one for another. Amen. No, we won't do that. We really are. We don't frame our lives with failure. There's no such thing as failure. There's just more opportunities for God to show his goodness in your life. And, you know, it was a great sermon. If you weren't here and didn't hear it, you can go back online and you can listen to it and it'll bless your life. Can I get an amen? So I want to talk about financial freedom today, all right? We're going to talk about finances. How many finances cause people trouble? Proverbs chapter 8, 17 to 18, I love those who love me and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. That's wisdom. That's Jesus. This is a personification of Jesus in Proverbs 8. You read I, wisdom, and he says, I love those who love me and those who seek me will find me. Did you seek him? What I love about God, he says, if you seek me, you'll find me. Like, if God were going to play hide and seek with you, he hides out in the open. You're going, well, no, hide, Jesus. I am. I'm right here. He's out there. He's obvious. He wants to be found. It's not some ridiculous hardship to go after him. He says, those who seek me will find me. And he says, and when you find me, here's what's with me. Riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. Woo! And I'm not charging $10,000 for this sermon. And yet that's the biggest breakthrough you would ever hear right there in your financial life is that, you know what, when you honor him and you love him and you understand the relationship you have with him and you let that just wash over your life, you'll never have financial fear. Thank you, Daryl. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. Financial freedom. Proverbs chapter 3. This is supposed to be 9 to 10. I got 9 to 19, but it's 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase. Give God what's first, not what's last. A lot of people can't give because they always wait to see if there's anything left over, and then they give. But the Bible says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase. Say, all my increase. What does that mean? It means all. It means the whole thing. It means every aspect of your life. It means even when Aunt Gertrude sent you a card with $50 in it for your birthday. That's increase. Honor the Lord with all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Amen. How many people have a barn? Amen. A few people got barns. That's all. You know, if you can take barn or vat out and put, you know, my checking account, you can say, you know, my storage place, the place where I store, the place where I put increase, the place where I do that, it's always going to be full if I honor God and put him first. Can I say amen? All right. How many excited? I came for the teaching on finances. Hallelujah. How'd I stumble into this one? Oh my God. I mean, some of you, your cheeks are pinched so tight right now. It's like, oh my God. My cheeks? Yeah, that's your cheeks. All right. Okay. Easy now. Easy, Pastor. Easy. Jesus talked a lot about money. Jesus did. Jesus talked a lot about money. One in every 10 verses of the Gospels directly deal with money. 16 of 38 parables are concerned with how you handle possessions. Over 500 verses in the Bible on prayer, 500 on faith, 2,000 on money. Now, if I was a pastor, I never heard me preach on prayer, never heard me preach on faith. You go, man, Pastor, you got to kind of fill out the spectrum here, fill it out. Well, you know what? There's a bigger emphasis on prayer. There's a bigger emphasis on money than there is on prayer or even faith. So you wouldn't be a good pastor if you didn't teach people in the area of finances. Or, isn't that right? Just say, thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. All right, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus in verse 31 and 33. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall you eat, or what shall you drink, or what shall you wear? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now look at, underline that word his. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not your righteousness. His righteousness. Seek his righteousness, not yours. It doesn't say, and change your life and be a really good person, then God will bless you. It says, seek the kingdom and his righteousness. Because how do you get his righteousness? It's a gift. He gives you the gift of righteousness. Read Romans chapter 5. He gives us the gift of his righteousness. When you seek him, you will be found. He will be found by you. And when you seek his righteousness, he will give it to you. So when you seek his kingdom and you seek the gift of his righteousness in your life, because it's his righteousness that makes the difference, not yours, because he became righteous for the unrighteous so that we could be declared righteous. So let all the righteous say amen. It says those who seek his righteousness and all these things, every single thing you need, no matter what it is. How many need stuff? The answer to all your stuff is right there. If you will put him first, if you will seek his reign and rule, if you'll seek his righteousness, not a, you know, you trying to do good. I'm trying to approve for blessing today. I'm here in church on Sunday. I was tired. I woke up and I wasn't going to come, but I did because I'm seeking righteousness. No, that's works. That's duty. That's ugly stuff. You know, but when you're seeking his righteousness, when you embrace it, it's a gift. When you get the revelation, you mean it's yours? You mean you want to give it to me? When you get that revelation, it frees you up to embrace a flow of God's pleasure in your life. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. All right, challenges. Now, there's challenges with financial pressure. An Associated Press poll said 27% of people experiencing debt and in financial trouble, 27% get ulcers in their digestive tract. They have problems compared with 8% of those who have low debt stress. 29% of those suffered severe anxiety compared with 4% with low debt stress. High debt stress, there's so many studies. I mean, I just Googled, the effects of debt, the effects of financial stress. Literally, so many physical problems in your life are tied to the fact that you're stressing out about finances. Amen. Some of you, I see you. You're trying to balance your checkbook while I'm preaching. You're just so caught up and so bound, and you're so concerned about, you know, what am I going to do? Christmas ain't going to be good this year. It's tight. I got to stop spending so much money. Oh my goodness. I mean, marriages, you're fighting over stuff all the time. Finances. Another thing here, another challenge. It's a challenge to your physical health, a challenge to your mental health. Another poll, it was a study at the Iowa State University on social behavior research. It showed that children who experience socioeconomic adversity at an early age are at an increased risk to experience mental health challenges during their teens. So many others too, so many areas where it says that you will experience challenges mentally, challenges, you know, to your mental well-being because you're stressing out about finances. Let's turn to your neighbor and say, could it get a little quieter in here? All right, well, another challenge, this is Dr. Phil. How many know Dr. Phil's the man? Yeah, I had more of his quote there, but I just got this bit, but I had more. You can research it yourself. Look up Dr. Phil on relational health. Dr. Phil on relational health said it's simple. Money can ruin your marriage. In fact, it's the number one problem in marriages. It's the number one cause of divorce. Now, how many, because of financial things, have wanted to kill your mate? We got two people in the front row, honest. We got a few. Okay, all eyes closed, all heads bowed. Now, Cheryl says, I won't divorce you. I will kill you. Okay, just easy now. It's all right. But, you know, when you're going through financial problems, there's challenges to your health, challenges to your relationships, challenges to your mental health. Imagine going to work every day, but when you're on the way to work, all you're thinking about all the time is, I am so in debt, it's hurting. And you can't even work properly. You can't even function properly when you got financial pressure. It is the one thing that's dominating every aspect of your life. You know, I see people in financial anguish and financial pain. It's a terrible thing to see believers feeling that way. It says, we got his kingdom. We got his righteousness. We got him. It says, those who seek me find me. With me are honor, wealth, great wealth, prosperity. How many know Jesus? How many hanging with him? It should rub off a bit. Come on. All right. Thank you, Pastor. That's good stuff right there. All right. So let's go on. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Command. Command. How many know what that word means? All right, this is to Timothy. He's pastor in a church, all right? And this is the Apostle Paul. Revelation of the Holy Ghost says, when you're talking to your people, listen, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Woo! He gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now, folks, I've been to India several times. Half that nation doesn't have a flush toilet. And zero expectation of having one. I mean, all over the world, there's a lot of people that don't get fresh water. We turn on our taps. I mean, we one time, Cheryl was getting water for the dog. She turned on the tap, filled the thing, and left it running. It was running. I go, I don't know how long it was running, but I said, my goodness. I mean, we're starting to pay for water now. I mean, how long has that been running? I don't know. And, you know, like, it's amazing. Did you know that, remember Lawrence of Arabia? There's really a guy, Lawrence of Arabia, really was. And he actually did work with the Arab communities and back in the, well, it was back in the early 19th century, but or 20th century. But he brought all these people to a peace conference and thing in Paris. And when he was there, he brought all these people. They had never seen anything like this. They'd all been in tents in the desert. And out there, water, you kind of traveled from water to water. I mean, water was very, very important. So they got there, and when they were there, they had these bathtubs. You turn on this tap, and shoo, like water just comes gushing out. So it was time to go, and every single one of them was not in the lobby when it was time to go. And so they sent to get them out and said, please get these guys. We have to go. We have to get back. Our trip is on the way, and I need these fellows right now. So when they went to get them, you know what they were doing? Every one of them were trying to get that faucet off the wall because they thought, I'm taking this baby with me. Because they thought the faucet just gave water. So they're saying, I'm packing this baby in my suitcase. I mean, some people take the soap and the towels, you know what I mean? But I mean, they are going to take the plumbing. But you see, that's how incredible water is and that whole source of water for people. But you know, look at this. Luke now. Timothy, command those who are rich in this present age, don't be hungry. Listen, if you live in North America, you're rich. So I'm talking to you. Oh, I'm not rich, Pastor. Trust me. No, you are. Trust me. I mean, a lot of places, they don't even have shoes. You got a closet full. I mean, so this scripture applies to every single one of you in the hearing of my voice, and even you folks out there in camera land. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. Don't trust in riches, but the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that the rich good works. They're ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come. I love how Paul and even Jesus reframed your problems and he put them in eternity. When Jesus said, you're worried about stuff here that you can see, taste, and feel, and touch, that don't matter. Think about things above. Reframe your whole point of reference. Think about eternity. And you know, here, when you think it's all good here, make sure you're storing up for eternity, because this is, and it's gone, but eternity is forever. And when you're sowing into the kingdom and the purposes of God, you are storing up a good foundation for forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So a good foundation for the time to come that they may lay hold of eternal life. Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 20. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth. That's a command. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. That's a command. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust and will destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Where? Treasure in heaven. I mean, often Jesus reframed the problems of the day. What are you worried about? Don't even worry about him who can affect your body. You're worried about your body. You're worried about your car. You're worried about, don't even worry about that. Worry about him who has the power of eternity and where you'll spend it. He's constantly reframing with eternity. And you know, my parents in that world, they used to talk a lot about heaven and eternity. We've gone a little bit maybe to the other extreme where we want it now. We want it now. And we've forgotten that now is gone in a vapor in a moment. But are you storing anything up? Do you have a foundation? What are you sowing for eternity? I thought we'd get a good amen there. The vision I had of the meeting, there was a lot more going on. It's awesome. So don't lay up treasure for yourself here on earth, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth or rust or thieves, nothing can break in and steal. Luke chapter 12, 16 to 21. He's talking about this parable. He says this man who did really, really well and he built barns. He said, I need to build bigger barns to store all my stuff. And this was his teaching of Jesus. He said, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. Settle down. And some of you got to like this sermon, at least one or two. Come on. Hey, I mean, whoever stores up for themselves, but is not rich toward God. You've got to be rich toward God. There are ridiculous benefits for being rich toward God. In fact, he'll bless you exceedingly abundantly. In fact, he'll give you things right now for you to enjoy. And it's great. But you've got to be rich toward God. You got to tick that box. You got to. Two basic approaches to giving. You ready? Two basic approaches. Number one, I got to give. I just got to give, man. I got to give. I got a call from the pastor. He said, my giving's not good. I got to give. Yeah. You know, oh, well, I better straighten that out. I got to give. That's no way to give. You know, the how to give list. Got to pay the God tax. Oh, yeah, I forgot we're here. Better pay the God tax. Got to pay the heating bill for the church. Amen. How many found it a bit cold in here? That's because you're not very good givers. You know, now I'm telling you, there's drips coming through the roof. It's the teardrops of Jesus coming right through the roof of the building. He's crying over your giving. There's starving kids in the nations of the world. God is weeping right now. I mean, I can show you pictures. And what I would do is I would touch your soul realm and I'd touch your emotions and you'd do something. You'd even be generous emotionally. And that's not how you give. Well, it does say passionate. Be passionate about your giving. Yeah, passionate, but not emotional. Well, that's an emotion, but not like, you know, I feel bad. I better do something. You know, I just, oh, look at that picture. Oh, my goodness. That's manipulation. It says never give under manipulation. Oh, you're manipulating us right now. No, I'm not. I'm teaching you. Smarten up, my God. You've got to pay for the pastor. He gets a new car every year, it seems. My goodness, we've got to pay the tax for the pastor to get a new car. How many thought that? You thought that. I know you did. I see your hands. Thank you. I got to pay the bill. You got to pay the keep from getting God angry bill. Put in your tithes or he'll kill you. There's a curse running after you right now. It's chasing you down. It's going to suck the life out of you. But if you put something in the offering bucket today, it'll be cut off. And then supernaturally, it'll just fall out of the heavenly realm. Hallelujah. That's emotional and that's manipulation too. That's not a way to give. I gotta give. Number two, say thank you for that one, Pastor. It's good. Number two, I get to give. Two basic ones, the gotta give and the get to give. How many know you get to give? We get to give. Malachi 3:10, I knew he was going to get here. Hallelujah. Malachi, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house and try me now. I mean, test me in this, says the Lord. If I will not open the windows of heaven, pour such a blessing out on you that there's not room enough for you to receive it. You get to give. God literally says, come back to me, return to me, because I want to engage you in a supernatural cycle of resources. I want to resource your life and I want to bless you. Come on, come on. I'm inviting you. I'm not telling you, I'm inviting you to get into a cycle of divine blessing that will blow you away. You won't be able to handle it and you'll be a sign and a wonder that your God is a good God. And I do that because I get to give. I get to give. All right. Now look, I'll give you three things right here on the get to give line. You ready? The get to give approach has purpose. The get to give approach has purpose. Here's the purpose. I will make you a great nation and I will bless you and I will make you famous and you will be a blessing to others. See, on the getting to give line, the purpose of it is you get to give so that you engage this cycle of supernatural blessing so that you can bless others. Everybody say others. It's all about others. And this was way before the law. This wasn't in the law. This was a principle that God initiated with Abraham right at the start. And then Galatians 3:29, if you're in Christ, is anyone in Christ? You're a new creature, but if you're in Christ, you're also Abraham's seed, and therefore you are heirs according to the promise. What promise? I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. The purpose of this is to be a blessing to others, so that the whole world, that we would bring fame to him. We would become famous because there's such a glory on our lives that we are a blessing to other people. Settle down. I've got more. Please. Please. A purpose. All right. Now there's purpose. There's also, you should have a pattern. 1 Corinthians 16:2. On the first day of the week, that would be a Sunday. On the first day of the week, each one, say each one. Turn to your neighbor and say, does that include me? It says, each one, on the first day of the week, each one of you should lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, according to as he's been prospered. So there's a pattern here. There's regularity. It's proportionately. How many know that some people got more than other people? I don't know how that happened. But you know what? There's no ceiling on the blessing of God in your life except you. Because some people work the plan. It's not that God doesn't want to bless you. God wants to bless you, and he wants you to be a blessing to others. He literally, through you, wants to manifest his kingdom and his glory. And you're plugging up the blessing spout when you don't engage this wonderful program. I get to give. I get to give. You do it regularly. You do it proportionally. And then do it passionately, because it says the Lord loves a cheerful giver whose heart is in his giving. So there should be a passion. But when it's time for offering, you're like, woo! It's actually the most holy worship that takes place on any given church service. The most holy moment is the offering. It's the place literally where tangibly there's an expression of real genuine life and devotion to God. Say amen, come on, tell your face you're happy. All right, regularly, there's a pattern. How many know you need a pattern? You need a strategy. A lot of people do not have a strategy for giving. I want to give, you know, like I really, you know, giving is something, it's a value that I really have. It just, you know, stuff happens. I don't know what happens. It's because you don't have a pattern. You don't have a strategy. It should not be emotional. It should be strategic. Well, I give whenever I'm moved. Hallelujah. Well, that's not a good reason to give. Because you can get manipulated. You should give strategically, and you should give biblically, and you should give on purpose, understanding this as a principle in your life. All right, now privilege. Say privilege. I mean, giving is a privilege because you get to partner in his redemptive plan. God doesn't need what you have, but you desperately need what he has. He doesn't need what you have, honestly. It's not about God's got to pay the bills. It's not about that at all. God literally wants to introduce you into a cycle of supernatural blessing. You need to embrace this. Don't be generous emotionally. Be generous intentionally. I have been given an opportunity and not an obligation. I've been given an opportunity and not an obligation. You see, I did a lot of crazy stuff with finances. Almost ruined our marriage because right here, this is an amazing thing right here. It's a camera case. And I kid you not, my wife sent me out for milk. I'm not even kidding. And I didn't come home with the milk, but I did come home with this. And you know, it's actually a gray screen. It's not even a color screen. And it won't even play my tapes back properly anymore. And I've had to take the tapes and pay all kinds of money to have them put on DVDs. But $2,200. But praise Jesus, they had a program where I only had to pay like $10 a week for 700 years. And even though it doesn't work anymore, thank you, Jesus, I'm still paying for it. No, I'm not. I finally did pay it off. Anybody do something crazy like that? My dad was really bad. He used to go to the store for milk and come back with a brand new Cadillac Escalade. Is that not true, Mom? I mean, my dad was like, he'd bring back the top of the shelf car. My mom would go, we can't afford that. He'd say, Sheila, work it out. It's all good. Work it out. My mom's the best accountant ever. Never had any training. She went through hell with my father. And so just kidding, Dad. Bless you. Love you. It's awesome. But we did pick up some of my dad's financial problems as kids. How do you know that's where I got my car problem? You know, and now I got a Taurus and we're driving that Taurus. I trust you. I commit to you right now. That Taurus, we're going to drive it for 8 years or until the wheels fall off it. Because, I mean, man, that is such a trap just flipping vehicles, isn't it? That is not good stewardship. And I'm a pastor, for goodness sake. And I should be a better example. How many say amen? How many were praying for me just to get out of that and be delivered to that? See the hand? Thank you. I know my mom was especially. Hallelujah. She says, Lord, that curse on my son is terrible. But you get a privilege to give. Are you ready? I want to talk to you about these opportunities. All right? It's not an obligation. It's an opportunity. And I'm going to give you 10. Everybody say amen for 10. It's going to be really fast. Don't worry. Don't freak out at me. It's going to be really fast. Number one, it's a great opportunity to document his favor. You can document his favor when you get in this pattern. You give on purpose and you give strategically. You can start to document the favor of God on your life. I know it. I tell you, there's times we gave. I remember we were here. Cheryl was on staff. And, you know, we needed more money. And I knew what the books were like. And I said, you know what? Something's got to shift, Cheryl. I don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, we're the one who need the breakthrough. So we sewed a whole month of Cheryl's pay. A whole month of her income. We sewed it right into another ministry. Said, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And, you know, it was only a few weeks later. Paul Brooks walked in. He's there on a Sunday night service talking to my wife about something. And there, you were back and forth. I went, what's going on over there? And then sure enough, she's like, man, Paul offered me a job to be the director of the crisis pregnancy. babysitter. You know, boom. I mean, after a few years, that took Cheryl through another level of breakthrough in her own personal life and so many different things in her life. But financially, we experienced a breakthrough because of that. But everything shifted. But she took that same breakthrough and she knew that God is wonderful. And you know what? If what you got is not enough to meet your need, it's probably seed. If what you got's not enough to meet your need, it's probably seed. So Cheryl knew they needed a new building at the Crisis Pregnancy Center. So she said, you know, us being here on the back side of this building and people got to sneak back down here, it's awful. I want to be a high-profile front-end ministry, a real good commercial building. And, you know, so Cheryl took all the money they had in the bag. It was over $20,000, and they sold all that money to all kinds of other ministries, to other centers that needed homes. And she found out who needs that, and she sold specifically and strategically for a home. And you know what? After she made it clear, she announced we're looking for a home. It was a very short period of time. Somebody walked in to the center, knocked on the door, and said, I have a check. It's a bank draft, a Wall Street bank draft. It's from an offshore account, and it came in two checks, but it was over $210,000. $210,000. And back when Cheryl got that money, it was like $1 million today. It was so many years ago. I mean, we're really old. But we can document in our own lives personally. So many times we sowed on purpose and we got personal breakthroughs. And I can document us as a church. I mean, we had times where we suddenly the piano players moved away and stuff like that. I said, we don't have a piano player. So you know what we did? We sowed a grand piano into another church in town. Said, you know, if we need music, let's sow some music. We sowed a grand piano and suddenly we had musicians coming out our ears. We had another church, we had a van, we weren't using it that much, so we sold a van into another church, you know, and we saw increase, we saw breakthrough. We wanted to amp up our building programs, so we took all our money in our accounts, we sent it to five churches in the city that were in building programs. We walked up and gave them several $1,000 checks, each of them, and the one place, the pastor was just frustrated because their whole thing had come to a halt. There was no money, it had dried up, and he was in his office going, oh God, I mean, we're right in the middle of this program, our momentum is shot, and then all of a sudden he opened the mail, and it was a check from New Life Center at the time, and New Life Center said, we're sowing into your success, we're sowing into your ministry. He put a picture of the check right in the bulletin for the whole church to see. This is a breakthrough. I was asking God to help, and suddenly out of nowhere comes this check from another church. God's going to do it, and their place is totally finished today, totally done, all put together, and those folks are grateful that we believed in them. And I mean, over and over, and I've seen God bless us super abundantly. Anyway, I there's 10, so I got to move on. All right, but you can document his favor. How many have documented his favor? How many have been able to do that? You know, and you've got evidence of the favor of God in your life. Hallelujah. Okay, number two, express obedience tangibly. Now, this is good because how I know I'm obedient. I know I'm serving him. I know that I'm literally responding to his word. I'm tangibly. I love the offering because I'm literally physically demonstrating tangibly that he's first place in my life. But you know why that's wonderful? Because when you start to do that, you start to develop and look for other places of obedience. And it begins a cycle of obedience in your life where you begin to say, I want to demonstrate healing. I want to demonstrate his power. I want to demonstrate his freedom, his liberty. I want to see a demonstration in other areas your life, because this one area where you have evidence of his goodness, it just stirs up obedience in your life. Okay, number three, you get to connect with his heart. You get to connect with his heart. You see, I'm invested. Are you invested? When you're invested in something, I mean, I do some things on the stock market and stuff, and I'm invested, so I get concerned when I see things bounce around, and I pull up the web and I check. And you know, I want people to be interested in the things I'm interested in. I got some friends, some family friends, that they have stock in Swiss Chalet, and on Sundays we had to go to Swiss Chalet. And when they were there, they were looking around going, and they love Swiss Chalet because they had Swiss Chalet stock. How many have Swiss Chalet stock? But you know, when you went with them, it wasn't just an eating out experience, it was a full on. I love Swiss Chalet. I'm invested. Look at the people here today. This is wonderful. This is a good day. They were literally looking at everybody like, thank you for eating here. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you. Because they were invested. What are you invested in? You see, when you connect with his heart, you're invested. Listen, when you rented that car and you drove all around and you drove through the snow and it got all messy, did you clean it before you took it back? Probably not. Some people might, but probably, and why not? Because it's a rental. I'm not invested. But when you're invested, there's a whole different sense. My son just bought a new house with Jordan. They're invested. I mean, when they got the keys on Wednesday night, there was no furniture in there, but they stayed there that night and just slept on the floor because they're invested. We've got a home, and they slept on a hard floor because they're invested. When you're invested, you'll go to new lengths because you're invested. Number four, number four, you get engage yourself. I get to engage myself in bigger. I get to engage myself in bigger. I built an orphanage in India. Well, so did a lot of you. We built an orphanage in India. We did it, but I did it. We're a part of that. I built it. I put smart boards. That school over there, I drive by it. When I drive by it, I take another look. I take a look at that school because I put smart boards in those classrooms. I put books in the library. I put computers in there. And you know what? I'm going to go over there and watch their volleyball team. And you know why they're going to have a volleyball team this year? Because Impact Church put volleyball nets in that place. We put the volleyball posts in that place. We put all the basketballs, all the soccer balls, all the sporting equipment, $3,800 worth of it. Right now, they're going to come and get the check. They've already got it all, ordered it all. They're going to come in a few weeks and get the check for it. I have given them a sports program. Woo! You know, when you engage like this, you get involved in bigger. 100 families are going to have a great Christmas this year because of me. See, I couldn't myself reach 100 families. I couldn't do that. But together, engaging together, I get to connect with bigger because I'm hooked up with the purpose of God. It's wonderful. I built a home in Haiti that cares for children that were born with AIDS. I'm taking care of kids right now. That without any want of their own or desire of their own, they didn't qualify for it except for just being born in a hopeless situation. Kids born with AIDS. I care. I'm helping them. Are you feeling me? I'm not trying to be like, well, it's all about me or aren't you awesome? You know, it's something when you feel like we're together doing something. We're together touching something and we're invested in something. We are planting churches all over the world. We're tied up to an organization that's in 95 nations. And we right now are expanding and planting churches all over the world. I'm doing that. I had no idea. You're doing that because you get to connect in bigger. You're training thousands of leaders worldwide. You know, I went last year to Ghana, Africa, and 95 nations represented, millions of people represented, and I got to train the top leaders in all of those nations, and they came to hear me. My picture was right on the poster. Isn't that so awesome? You sent me. You were a part of that. We engaged in that. You trained thousands of leaders all over the world. And your excitement is just, it's overwhelming. All right, number five, we got to move on. Confront selfishness. You got an opportunity to confront selfishness. Stuff does not have me. I serve others with the blessing of God on my life. Number six, moving along. I conquer worry. I conquer worry because I put my whole life under his authority and protection. I'm engaged in a partnership with the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. You know what? You know what? My problems are his problems. And when I've engaged him, I don't have to worry because only one of us apparently needs to care at one time. He said, cast all your cares on me because I care for you. So hallelujah. You can conquer worry when you engage this opportunity. Number seven, enjoy the rest. Enjoy the rest. Enjoy the rest. My priorities are straight and I can thoroughly enjoy his blessing on my life. Amen. You know what it's like to know that you've got things in order in your life? And then when blessing comes and the superabundance experience in your life, I don't feel guilty for driving a nice car. I don't feel guilty for living in a nice home. I don't feel bad about the blessing of God in my life. I don't feel bad about taking wonderful holidays. I don't feel bad that I got to help my children buy homes. I don't feel bad when I can do those kind of things. I don't feel anything because I've already taken care of. I'm rich towards God. I am rich towards God, and I can embrace and enjoy, because he's given me all things for my enjoyment. Come on, shout something at me. How many, you know, hallelujah, glory to Jesus. Come on, I mean, somebody's got to be feeling something here today. Thank you, all right. You know, I did tell you I'm really needy when I preach. I need affirmation, eh? All right, so throw me a bone. Don't withhold those amens. Don't be selfish with that little bit of affirmation. What does it cost you just to squeak out a little, yeah, pastor, good, right on. I mean, what? I mean, man. When you give, you engage and you give glory to God. Literally, you're giving glory to God. You know what? The devil hates it when we bring up the buckets and pray over it. He hates it. He's manifesting the very worst right there when we are declaring publicly, boldly, and openly, he's our source. He's a great God. He can do it all. He's worthy of everything. He gave me 100% and then he said, enjoy 90. How amazing is that? Man, I love that guy. Giving is the greatest testimony. I guess apparently we're moving on. Okay. You get to declare the good news. Somebody's got a date. I don't know what's going on. But look what the Lord has done. I mean, giving is look what the Lord has done. Giving is celebrating that he's good, celebrating that he's my source. And number 10, you open your life to him. It's an opportunity to open your life to him. Now, I want to do something. Can the you two guys right there, can you bring that table? Bring that table right over here. Bring it right over here. All right. Is that good? Bring that over here. Thank you. Appreciate it. Give them a standing ovation. Oh, it's a crouching ovation. A little applause. Sorry, guys. Not a lot of enthusiasm in the house today. I'm not sure. So, anyways. All right. What are we doing here? I got to pick on somebody. So I'm going to pick on Brian Keener just for fun. I'm going to pick on Brian because I know Brian's solid in this area and he's good. So, Brian, come here. Brian. Dear Brian. Now, this is 10 cents, Brian, 10 cents. Come on over here. Come on over here. I want you to open your hand to me. There's 10 cents. Close your hand as tight as you possibly can. Hold on as tight as you can. Don't let go for nothing. All right, the Lord wants to bless you. If you'll put him first, he wants to increase you. He just wants to, you know, in every way. It says that if you were with him, that with him are riches and blessing and all those things. I mean, Brian, so you know what the clenched fist is? I don't have enough. The clenched fist is I can't. The clenched fist is I got bills. The clenched fist is I don't believe this crap. I can't believe I'm sitting here having to listen to this crap. I'm the source of all my own stuff, if you don't mind. I don't believe any of that. That's what it is. And no matter what, some of you pinched really tight. Some of you hold on to that dime so tight, you give the queen a new perm. Woo, look at that. Woo. But I mean, you know what? That's a closed hand. That's a closed life. That's closed altogether. And you know what? Your finances are a total test of your heart and tells everything about who you are. How you tip the waitress. All that. Hey, don't get personal with me, bud. You don't think everybody knows? It's like this. It's just like this. It's tight as all get out. Tight as all get out. Now I'm going to ask you, Brian, I'm going to ask you to open your hand. Just trust in Jesus. Just pour it out right there. Put your hand over there. Just let it go. Oh, that's awesome. Stay here, Brian. Get my lapel mic. Put your hand over there, Brian. Pour it out. You open your hands, you pour it out. You pour it out, I'll fill it up. If you pour it out, I'll fill it up. If you pour it out, I'll fill it. A cheerful giver. If you pour it out, I'll give it up. But close your hand really tight, Brian. Close your hand. Close that hand really tight. Close that hand. You can't get anything through a life that's tight and closed up like that. You can't do that. But you open your hands, Brian, over here. Super abundantly, Brian. Oh, my glory. Yes! All right, that's my money. Go away. All right. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate that. Finances. That was good. See, Brian got an ovation. It was good. I can pick on Brian because Brian's an open-handed life. He's an open-handed person. But you know what? An open-handed life, I position myself to be a conduit through which heaven can invade earth. God has got a plan to touch earth. You know what it is? You. And you know, if you're living your whole life like this, you know, if you're concerned about your finances and you're unwilling to literally turn it all over and trust him. We sang a song right at offering, let go, my soul, trust in him. The winds and waves still know his name. But you know, when we're like this, we are winds and waves focused. When you got a tight fist and God can't flow through you, I mean, it's not just about money. It's in every area of your life. When you're closed like that, I mean, God is ready to abundantly pour upon you. Folks, if you've read your Bible, you got to know that God has a massive desire to bless you. and through you bless the nations of the earth. And so it's very, very important that we have that open hand. I am an open window through which God can display and express his kindness. Say amen. Come on, why don't you stand up with me? You know, God loves you, and it's not just about finance, but if you got financial problems, I always tell people, financial problems are spiritual problems. It really is. So you need to get yourself aligned, because God's not withholding. God doesn't hold back. He said, I will bless those who seek me. Those who seek me will find me. So just bow your heads, close your eyes for a minute. You know, maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. You've never taken the opportunity to say, I want him to be Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you. You know, he's good. You know, in all the areas that are frustrating and failures and financial getting bogged down and so many other things. You know what? I mean, God really is the source of every good thing. It says in the Bible that he's the giver of every good gift. He's the giver of every good gift. And you don't have to earn it or put yourself in some place. And I don't even want you to, you know, I'm going to give now because Pastor made me feel guilty with that sermon. No, I hope you got some revelation, because God really wants to keep you broken through. He wants you to be an open heart and an open life and express himself through you. And he really will. If you don't believe that, what do you believe? Because it's all over the Word. But you know, he loves you. Maybe you've never given him that opportunity to be your Lord and Savior. You've never said, hey, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I'm willing to say, yes, I agree. I receive that you're my Savior. Because you know what? He loves you and he receives you. If that's you today and you want to say, hey, could you pray for me, Pastor, before we go? I want you to just do something. I'm just going to count to three. I'm going to go one, two, three. And if you say, hey, Pastor, pray for me, I want to know that I'm his child before I leave here today. If that's you, just want you, nobody's looking around, so it's just you. It's just you and the Holy Ghost working on your heart. You can put up your hand and say, pray for me before you go. You ready? I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Then throw your hand up. You ready? One, two, three. Just throw your hand up really high so I can see it. Say, Pastor, pray for me before you go. Okay. Anyone else? Just put your hand up really high. Really high. Just say, pray for me. All right, listen, everybody. Just join with me and pray this, all right? Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for accepting me. I receive that you are my Savior. I accept that my sins are forgiven. And I embrace you right now as my Lord and as my Savior. Thank you for the gift of your righteousness. I receive it now. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, amen. It says, to those who receive him, he gives the right to become children of God. So if you received him, you're a child of God. And as a child of God, you're an heir of incredible promise. And as a child of God, all your sins are forgiven. Isn't that awesome? Past, present, future, done under the blood. You're a child of God. So bless you, bless you. Let me bless you and pray for you. We got folks coming up right now. We got a ministry team that's ready to pray for you. So if you need prayer for any other issue, any other thing, or you just need to come to the altar and do some business with God yourself, there's people coming and they're getting ready to pray for you. All right? So I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless my mom. It's her birthday. I'm going to take her out for a nice dinner. And just love on you all. Well, Father, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to gather with these people who I so dearly love. And I thank you for them, each and every one of them. And I pray, Lord, that you would just invade their hearts with your word and with the knowledge of your great love. Father, your great love, let it explode, the revelation of it in all their hearts. Jesus, thank you for your great grace. Thank you, it's grace. Thank you for your unmerited favor, which empowers me, lifts me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the Godhead who is with me, the one who is manifesting every good and wonderful privilege of being a child of God. So I just thank you that you're with each and every one of us. So in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I bless each one here today. Just command God's richest blessing on them. I loose them to go. Invade the kingdom of darkness and manifest the light of the glory of God. For your honor, for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.